Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
That's super producer Tommy getting it. Like, he is locked in and loaded on this Monday morning.
Yep. It's Monday morning, but it's not. This is game day for old Tommy. Let's go.
That's right. We are the Mason Crosby Show. As mentioned, Mason Crosby is here. My name is Mitch Nels, a.k.a. Thunder. Tommy is here as well. And joining us now on the show in a Where Are They Now segment, longtime former teammate of Mason Crosby, one of the greatest first names in the history of the NFL. It is Geronimo Allison. Geronimo, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up, fellas? Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Hey,
G-Mo, what's up, buddy?
I know
you were traveling last week. I tried to get you on. I think, was it your birthday last week? I'm like, get on the show. Can you come on the show? And like, you didn't even say it was your birthday.
It was my 31st.
Oh, happy birthday, Geronimo. Oh, nice.
Young buck.
Yeah, man. Hey, I don't feel so young, but yeah, I'm hanging in there.
Before we dive in, because I want to talk like Packers and your time, like, you know, there in Green Bay and like kind of your journey in the league and kind of what you're seeing with, you know, what's going on in the championship games and leading to the Super Bowl. But I want to talk about like kind of we're trying to get on the Where Are They Now type, segment on the show. So just want you to tell us, like, what are you doing now that your playing days are done? What are you up to? I think, Mitch definitely wants you to help him in like his fitness journey. I know you're into that space.
I need some help.
Tell us what you're up to now these days, G-Mo.
I got you, Mitch. I got you. Let's jump on another call and let's get you on a plan, man.
That's
what I'm doing. I'm fitness training. I'm helping everybody kind of be their best version of themselves. So I have a couple clients that I've been able to turn around and get them on their fitness journey, and it's been awesome. Other than that, I'm a girl dad, so my daughter is 4. I'm always having fun with her, enjoying time with her. Been married now for 5 years, so been enjoying the married life, traveling, getting a chance to see the world, and, you know, just taking it one day at a time, man.
I love that.
Well, you're talking to a couple of girl dads here. Actually, Mason, I didn't tell you this. Little Rumble is 12 today, so we're talking about birthdays. It's her birthday today. So I have a 14 and 12-year-old, Geronimo, so I would say to you, enjoy the ride, but definitely enjoy your daughter while she's 4 and 5 and 6, while she still thinks you're the hero, because she will get to be a preteen and a teen, and the attitude switches, I'm telling you, my man.
she loves me right now. I get the best of both worlds. Sometimes I get a little sad. Other times I get, you know, the sweet charm in her. So we've been getting her active in gymnastics and softball.
Nice.
And she loves some extracurricular activities. She loves them.
Well, I'll trade you fitness lessons for softball lessons, because I've been a softball coach for a number of years here for my girls. So we'll do some trading.
That's awesome. I'm down.
Well, yeah, I asked one of my 7-year-old twins the other day. Like, she was just coming at me, and I'm like, "Sweetheart, you are 7. Like, I can't do this. Like, you're not a teenager. Like, you need to comply. Like, you are 7 years old. Stop acting like you run the ship." Like, it was crazy. Like, I was just like, I was so shocked and just like flustered. And I'm like, how is a 7-year-old just like rocking my world right now? Like,
that's one thing that I always tell people too, Mace, is like, people that don't have kids and not parents, I always say it's nothing like getting humbled by your child, either 4, 7, 12, when they put their foot down and kind of stand on business, like, it's nothing. Like, it's like, okay, I got to bring it down. Like,
right?
You win.
We played this game for a long time, and I could step on the field and, you know, kick a, you know, 45-yarder to win a game, and, like, it felt like less, like, stress and pressure than, like, having to, like, go in and deal with some of the girl issues and the kid issues that I have to deal with on a daily basis and just battling through those. I know you probably feel the same, where it's like you're running route, doing your thing on the field, and that just feels natural and comfortable. You get into a parenting space, and you're just like, this is hard. This is the hardest thing I've ever done in my life.
Yeah, it really is, man. I always told my wife too, just starting a journey. You know, this is, it's, you know, people think about the journey getting when they could be empty nesters, you know, the kids go on and go to college. But how I look at it, future thinking, forward thinking, is like, this is always going to be a forever thing. Like, you know, like, the kid will always come to you and define to you for whatever they need during their life journey. Like, so I always say, like, how they are now may not be how they are later, but they will be present. will be present.
And hey, I'm going to ask you, like, it, you know, it might be a tough or not so tough question, just depending on like how you feel about it. But I remember when you went to Detroit, obviously, like, your baby girl's going to be born, you're newly married, you know, some health stuff. I don't know if a lot of people know, but you opted out of that 2020 season in Detroit during the pandemic, just to, obviously, this speaks to who you are and, like, the importance of family and what you value in life. Like, tell us a little bit about, like, that decision, you know, for your family and what that kind of meant in your journey, you know, not playing that 2020 season because of what was going on, you know, around the world and obviously with the uncertainty in the league on how they were handling everything.
Yeah, I could dive into that, no problem. That's exactly what it was. Going into that COVID year, the family was still living in Green Bay, and we was looking in between contracts, getting ready to transition to Detroit. And my daughter was getting ready to be born during that time. And with everything that they was trying to lay out for the players, the isolation, not really being able to be around your family as much, kind of almost like an NBA bubble is kind of what they wanted to do.
Yeah.
That brought a lot of uncertainty with being a new father and going into fatherhood. And it created a lot of anxiety. And it was more so, I would say, separation anxiety that I was very concerned about. One, my wife being away from her family, I'm away from her. Who's going to be there to give that, to lighten that load? And as a new father, I always wanted to be present. So making that decision to be there full time for my family and for my daughter was the best decision that I could have made for fatherhood and as a parent. You know, I was able to birth her during that journey. So when we went into the hospital, the day we went in and my wife went into labor, they actually shut the hospital down where nobody could really come in and go out. So we didn't have any visitation during that time. It was just us, and we had a doula at the time. So it was just us three in there. You know, we went through the birthing process, and I was able to actually birth my daughter and then take her home and be there during that process and that journey during COVID. So that time I felt like was very valuable that I couldn't get back if I would have went and committed myself to play that season. I don't know how I could have looked back on that time and been kind of proud of myself for going to go do what I love to go do. You know, I could do football in my sleep, but stepping into fatherhood, that was a new journey and a new challenge that I was very eager and excited about doing, but also adamant about doing it the right way. I love
that decision. I love that choice. This is a, if you're just jumping on, this Geronimo Allison, former Packer wide receiver, had a spell in the Canadian Football League, is a fitness coach, going to get Mitch on his fitness journey. So follow Geronimo Allison on Twitter and Instagram if you want. I saw some of your workout videos. I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, you got a lot of 3x10s out there, you know, on squats and other things. Like, you're trying to kill some people. But again, I wanted you to tell that story because, like, it's a very rare thing, you know, in this, you know, kind of how sports athletes sometimes are viewed, like, you know, going down this. But I just appreciate that athletes and, you know, are choosing to be people and men and, like, making decisions for their family, like sacrificing something that had been a dream of yours forever of playing in the NFL, going and chasing that, you know, experience, but you chose family and you chose the birth of your daughter and all those things. Like, I applaud you all the time for that, Geronimo. It's such a cool message of, like, what is important in life. So really appreciate you telling that story.
For sure. No problem. I appreciate that, bro.
Okay, so we're going to segue now. Now we got kind of, you know, it's like, where are the now life of Geronimo? What's he doing? Family stuff. And I want to talk because you were there in the transition from Coach McCarthy to, you know, Coach LaFleur coming in. And you got, you were there with LaFleur in 2019. Kind of like from his first days coming in into the locker room, into those team meetings, all of that. Do you watch like him speak and kind of like how he is now? Do you feel like there is a difference in him? Kind of what was your, just tell everyone what your experience was in that transition and, you know, your first kind of impressions with Coach LaFleur taking over the helm whenever you were there.
I would say my first impression of Coach LaFleur was somebody that knew offense, somebody that had the formula, but also had to kind of find a way and kind of step into the head coaching role.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that first year, he was still finding himself. He was still finding his groove on how he wanted to operate and do things. I think the city of Green Bay was new for him. I think the team and the expectation and everything that kind of came with the Green Bay organization was new to him, and it was a lot to kind of accept and take on. But over the years, I've seen him embrace it. I've seen him put together, him and Goots, put together great teams and go on great runs and, you know, mold some of these players that they've been able to bring on board and win games and get to the playoffs. And that's what I expected from him. You know, I always knew he was very intelligent when it came to the game of football, and he's been able to show that over the years. I just think that first year when he was kind of coming into the organization, kind of getting his feet wet, he was finding himself. But watching him speak to the team now versus when he was speaking to the team when he first was coming in, I think the nerves and the jitters, everything is just kind of eased on and kind of breezed on by.
I agree with you. I've said that a few times. It was like that first year, he'd come into a team meeting and, like, it just kind of, you know, he was trying to, yeah, find his way and, like, get his voice and how he wanted to speak to the team. And then not an easy task because Aaron's sitting back, you know, on his perch in the back of that team meeting room just waiting to pounce. Like, any misspeak, any, like, thing that happened, Aaron's just, like, chirping back there, firing shots, testing him, which I think is good, right? Like, you were in the game for a long time. Like, that kind of stuff breaks down, like, walls and barriers where it's like, all right, like, I need that kind of back and forth. And, like, if you accept it and embrace it, you move into a better space.
Right, and I think that's exactly what it was. Granted, we had a great core of veterans that was around the organization for some time. So him coming in trying to establish himself was necessary because we're all men, and you can't just come in and just mislead us. You know, we want a solid, we want a firm, we want a strong leader, to somebody that we know that we're going out to battle with, and everybody's going to give their all. And when you come into a family, a organization, a household, you have to earn your respect, earn your due diligence, and earn your loyalty, earn your trust, you know, and that's all it's about. I think every head coach goes through that, but different head coaches come with different energy, different authority, and it's only accept it when it's displayed as authenticity.
That's right. Yeah. And I think, again, the Packers did such a good job of surrounding him with veteran coaches as well. Coaches that have been, you know, through the battles, through the fire of different, you know, situations, and kind of protected him as he figured out his path. You know, it was they did such a good job of basically just integrating him in with allowing him to find his voice without it just being like some of these organizations just throw the head coach to the wolves. They throw the new, you know, the rookie quarterback to the wolves, where it's just like, all right, figure it out. We paid you a lot. You're the guy. Like, get the thing done. So the Packers did it the right way and, you know, found that. I want to ask you a little bit too about, you know, obviously you played, I think you played in the XFL for a season, played in the CFL for a season. Like, what was your experience in the different, you know, those different leagues going from, you know, playing in college, playing in the NFL, and then, you know, experiencing some of those different environments? Just let our listeners hear what that journey was like for you.
So my journey in the CFL, I can't really elaborate on that too much because it was very short. We say it was a poor coffee break.
Just a cup of coffee.
Yeah, that was it. I was in and I was out, which was my last kind of, you know, hurrah going forward. The XFL was a great experience. I met some great dudes, had some great teammates, and I was able to play underneath Hall of Famer Rod Woodson, too.
Oh, nice. So
it was fun being around some kind of great historic players that have played the game and great coaches that have been around the game for a long time and some good players. The league itself, I would say, was underfunded. So the living arrangements was different. We stayed inside of hotels. It was two teams to a hotel. We traveled on the plane to and from games, home and away, with the same team, the opponent that we were playing that
weird
week.
That's yeah. Weird.
So the love of the game was, there.
That was different. And you know, compensation was different also too. Insurance and things like that, you had to be on top of those things. If guys got nicked up or banged up and needed, you know, different recovery aspect, you had to really be on top of those things. And that was just there was very short of staff too, I would say. But the game of football, when it was go time and you was on the field, uniform, lights on, it was still football. It was fun. The energy was still there. Certain cities had better fans than others, but the guys respected the game and played hard, and that's what was fun about it. The other little nuance stuff, if you could push that stuff to the side and lock in and really handle business, you could be a professional in that spring league. Something I would like to see is the NFL just kind of grab it and put it underneath it and kind of just use it as, you know, a feeder league. But actually, like, back it and put some.
Hey, Gmo, you know they're not going to do that. That would cost them money outside of like what they're getting in the, you know, through the NFL. They're using it as a free league to develop players and get their stuff going.
Billionaires don't get richer by spending money.
I wish they would do the same by not spending money. Hey, before we let you go, you know, if you want to check out Geronimo Allison, go to his Instagram. You can look at all his workouts. It's Geronimo with five O's. So. Mm-hmm.
Geronimo!
Check him out. All right, Geronimo, tomorrow is leg day, so I'm going to do this one at the top of your page.
Let's go.
3x10 split squats, 3x10 front squats, 3x10 reverse lunge, 3x10 single leg RDL, 3x10 calf raises. Luckily, Wednesday is Human Wednesday because I will need it after that workout. So appreciate you. We got a Super Bowl's coming up. Who you got? Who you got winning this Chiefs versus Eagles game?
Ooh, I'm going to be honest. It's hard. Mahomes is, to me, like the new Brady, bro. Like, so for me, it's hard to go against the Chiefs. I think the Eagles have a solid team, and it took the Chiefs a minute to kind of get their camaraderie together this season. but I still think they are the championship organization. So if I'm not a bettor, not a gambler, but if I was putting my money anywhere, it would be on the Chiefs.
All right. Girl Dad, okay. GMO, going for the Swifties. I love it.
Love it.
Well, Geronimo, hey, really appreciate you. It was great catching up, and keep doing your thing, and we'll talk to you again soon. Appreciate you.
I appreciate you, fellas. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Geronimo. Great catching up.
Yep.
All right, Geronimo Allison, wide receiver for the Green Bay Packers, and a couple other stops along the way. Like you mentioned, Mason, girl dad, and doing his fitness stuff now and keeping busy, that's for sure.
Just gets it, you know? I mean, like that story about just choosing family, like that's the kind of stuff. And we want to kind of continue a segment like this forward, moving on, try to get just like a where are they now with like my former teammates, guys that played in Green Bay, and just kind of hit like their life story and then obviously takes around football. So really appreciate him opening up and just telling us about that experience, because what a hard decision. I don't think many of us have decisions like that in our lives very often, where you're choosing family over your job. Yep. And making that choice. So really appreciated that from him.
He picks the Chiefs. It's hard for him to go against Mahomes. He's not alone. Are the Chiefs a team of destiny? I stole a poll from WEI Sports Radio in Boston, so we'll go over that poll when we come back about the Chiefs and being a team of destiny. Of course, we're still going to talk about the Eagles and how close were the Packers to knocking off the Eagles. How close are the Packers to being in this Super Bowl conversation? He's Mason Crosby. My name's Mitch Nellis, a.k.a. Thunder. Tommy's here as well. It's the Mason Crosby Show. Live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.
Be right back.